Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Acelib Radio Broadcast with Brenda Paget, Eunice Bridges, and Glenda Fields. Sit back and relax with Acelib Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to today's show, How to Do It Yourself from A to Z with Diane T. Garden. This is Brenda Johnson Paget, your host here on Acelib Radio. Today I have author Diane T. Garden, who wrote the book How to Do It Yourself from A to Z. In her latest book, she gives step-by-step information on topics such as saving money, relationships, fighting injustices, and a whole lot more. Diane, who is a survivor of domestic violence, is now helping other women who face some of the same fears and challenges. In April 2004, Diane published her first book, Getting Out of Limbo, a self-help divorce book for women. The book provides step-by-step instructions on how to achieve financial and emotional independence in preparation for divorce. She has also written Light Through Shattered Window, Budgeting on a Dime, and Anti-Vigilante and the Rips in Time. Diane, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great. Okay, Diane, also this month we're celebrating Women's History Month, so I definitely wanted to have you on to give information about your latest book, How to Do It Yourself from A to Z, and a lot of tips that you do give in your book. So I also honor you as a woman in Black History Month because you're doing a lot of things to help women. And that's a great thing. So I salute you and I honor you today in Women's History Month. The first question that I do want to ask you, Diane, is why did you decide to write this book, How to Do It Yourself from A to Z?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I'm a very do-it-yourself kind of a person, and so over my long career of writing, you know, I've written actually all my life, but I've been publishing, as you mentioned, since 2004. I've written a lot of individual pieces on how to do this, how to do that, because people would ask me, well, you know, how can I get help with budgeting, or how can I, you know, you guys have been in the security business, how can I, you know, be safer in my home, and so in writing all these just, you know, various articles that started to stack up, I thought, well, hey, why don't I just put together a kind of a, you know, a collection of articles from every subject that I could think of from A through Z and make that, you know, and put that together as a book. That was the book that I published for 2015. And, you know, I've got a lot of exciting a variety of things. And that's why I think it's so kind of an interesting book is I've written a couple of books, one about budgeting, which is just about, you know, how to figure out your budget, how to save money, how to do specific projects like Christmas and you know, and not come out always in debt over Christmas and things like that. And then the one about the relationships, which, you know, you had mentioned at the beginning. So I've written books intensively about one subject, but this is kind of a more fun, it's just kind of a collection of things that I had written about for various people and for various reasons. And I said, well, why don't I just put them all together? And I did have to actually write a few new articles because obviously I hadn't written something on every single subject.
Wow.
So I did have to come up with a few new things as well. But there's some fun things in there, too, like how to win on the Judge Judy show, because I'm a big fan of hers. I don't know if you watch Judge Judy. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do.
See? See, isn't she great? I mean, the way she just, you know, she's so straightforward. And, I mean, if people are trying to BS her, she'll just cut them right down. And, you know, people that usually get away with murder all the time and, you know, get away with things, she just pinpoints them and just makes them, oh, they twist and twist. But I started noticing, because this is, I think, what writers do naturally, I started noticing certain patterns in her show. And just in case, you know, any of your listeners are actually, you know, getting ready to go on Judge Judy or considering it, because they do pay you money. They do fly you in from all over the country if they decide to take your case. But there's a couple of things really quickly that I can tell people right now, whether they're male, female, whatever age or whatever their subject is that they want to talk about on the show. First of all, she's really big on appropriate attire, which people don't even think about. And I'll tell you, if you go in there with shorts, she will mention it. This is on, you know, national TV, and she will say, and you think that it's appropriate to come in, you know, spaghetti strap dresses out, short skirts, you know, anything revealing out. You should get, you know, if you have a proper suit, you know, a three-piece suit, so the little coat, the blouse and the pants for women, and then, you know, the same on the men's side. That is what she wants to see. She is a real judge. She is a real lawyer. She wants respect in her court. So you don't go in there in, you know, short shorts and cut-off tops and trying to look sexy, because believe me, it's not going to impress her, and it's not going to, she'll be so distracted by the way you're dressed that and I'm not saying that it's going to actually affect how she judges you, but she'll mention it on, you know, national TV. It's kind of embarrassing. So for one thing, you know, dress appropriately. Second, sometimes people go in there and they have this whole story that they want to tell. She's a judge. That's not what you do with a judge. You're not a storyteller, and she's not your audience. She wants you to answer specific questions that she will have. So, you know, if you're nervous, which you will be on TV, have all your information points in front of you, you know, what dates things happened, how much money exactly they owe you, what the agreement was, whatever those things are. But don't go in there thinking that you're going to tell her, okay, and on the first day I did this, she's going to say, I don't want to hear your story. I've heard her say that like a million times. So be prepared with your talking points, things that you definitely want to get across, but let her ask you first. Don't just go in there to tell her a story. She doesn't like emotion. Whether it's, you know, trying to think you're all smart and, you know, thinking you're all it, or trying to interrupt her. Oh, my goodness, that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. But if you go in there prepared with your information, present yourself unemotionally. If you think stomping around and yelling and screaming is going to get you anywhere, that's going to get you thrown out of her court. So, you know, these are just some of the things that I noticed that the people that won their cases, there were a lot of consistencies, and so I just wrote them down. That's one of the things on how to win on Judge Judy.
Wow. Let me ask you this, Diane. I noticed that you have a topic in your book, how to win or how to fight an injustice and win. Now, what I wanted to know is, what injustices do you see that's happening right now in our world that your book can be a resource for? Can you explain that?
Well, I can give the example of the thing that happened to me, and it can really apply. In other words, sort of like, you know, my recommendations for the Judge Judy show, it's kind of a generic thing. First of all, it has to affect you directly. If you're just talking for a group of people and you're uninvolved in the problem, it's going to be less effective. Second of all, you need to have your evidence of the injustices. In other words, it can't just be hearsay or somebody said this to that. You have to either have, you know, pictures of something that is wrong, or statements from people, you know, explaining what has happened. And usually if you're involved, it's going to make it more pressing to you, and it's going to be more effective if you're advocating for yourself and a group of people. So that's the other thing. Second of all, again, with courts, you don't want to be emotional. If you go in there jumping around, up and down, screaming and yelling, all you're going to do is get yourself thrown out without a second hearing. So you want to be what's called very sober, very low-key in the emotion, and have your information, whether it's statistics, events that have taken place. So, for example, in the book, what happened to me is I went to South Bay College of Baldwin Park. Now, this was a student, a place where people could get training for jobs. So it wasn't, like a four-year university where you got a bachelor's or anything like that. It's a certificate of completion, and I was going for the accounting position, or the accounting courses, because I thought, well, hey, that's something that, pays well, and, it's pretty easy to see a lot of bookkeepers and accountants in the world, so, the opportunity was there. And when I went, there were not enough desks for the students that were enrolled. So you had to get your own it was a Fannie Mae loan. So at that time, that's mm-hmm. what they called them, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac, I think, is another one. But anyway, you had to procure your own loan for college. So you were bringing in the money, and you were, going to your classes. So all these people that were there had to have had brought money, and yet you walk into a classroom, there's 40 people where there's only 30 desks. So if you don't get there in time, how are you supposed to learn a class when you can't even sit down and write? And I just, injustice just fires me up, girl. I just get like, whoa, this is wrong. But I do more than just get angry. I don't, destroy things or anything like that. I thought there's got to be a way to fix this. And there were a lot of people lining the halls. They were waiting for their next class. There's nowhere to sit down. There's nowhere to do your work. Okay, that was one part of the problem. The other part was there weren't enough books for the classes that were available. There weren't the study materials. So books, desks, study materials. Then there was this one teacher, and I'm, really giving him a lot of credence and calling him a teacher. He sat at his desk. He put his feet up on, he's sitting in his chair. He's got his feet up on the desk, and he read a newspaper the whole time. He was a math instructor. Now, I'm not great at math, so there was a couple of things that I wanted to ask him about. He never lectured. He never answered questions. And when I went up to talk to him, he would ignore me. He would pretend like I wasn't even there. And there were a lot of us there that said, wait a minute, we're going to end up, paying these loans off, and we're not learning. I need to know how to do this problem. I need you to explain this. He wouldn't even talk to us. So I thought, people are standing out in the parking lot one day, and we were all very, very upset. And I thought, okay, great, we've got the energy, we've got the momentum, but what are we going to do about it? Just complain? And so it occurred to me, and this is something that I think has really done well for me in my lifetime, is I think, and then I notice certain things going on, and I see a pattern. Now, when you're in school, when you're a little kid in school, what do? They have to call the names and get the attendance. Why would they do that? Other than the fact that they're children and they need to be accounted for, that they're somewhere, they are paid per head per day, okay? It's based on attendance, right? Okay, so I was in this school, and I noticed here we are all adults. I mean, we were all out of high school, and we're all, adults, and we'd gotten our scholarships, and bought our books, and here we are. And they took attendance every day, and I thought, that stuck in the back of my head, and I thought, why would they be taking attendance? And I thought, that's it. They are being paid per person that is showing up in the classroom. That's why they didn't care if we had books or desks, because we were standing there and they were still getting paid. And so I organized a boycott. And I said, everybody's got to be in on this, because we will crush this school. Not some of us come and some of us go in there and say, oh, well, I'm going to sit there inside and be taught by these teachers because I'll get a seat. I said, if we can unite and pull everybody out of those classrooms, they're going to take notice, because, honey, we're hitting them in the pocketbook, and that is power. Also, we were on this major thoroughfare, okay, so cars are blazing by, you know, at this school. it was kind of in an industrial area. I said, okay, I'm no artist, but we're going to get some big pieces of construction paper. We're going to get some. We're going to paint, you know, unfair to students. This is a walkout. We won't go to school. You know, just different slogans, and walk around in front of the school. And because I know the power of the media, I called the local newspapers and said, look, this is what's going on down here at South Bay College of Baldwin Park on such and such a day. The students are going to be protesting. We're walking out of the classes. We've got some teachers standing out there in the parking lot that know this is not fair. They're on our side, and we want the media there, and by golly, they showed up. So between the cars honking and the students walking around protesting and the people that didn't want to protest were all standing out in the parking lot, because those were the days where everyone smoked cigarettes. Everyone's smoking up cigarettes and stuff. And we were out of school, and I tell you what, and this is going to surprise you, it only took 3 days before the head of all 8 campuses, this is the man that's in charge of making the money for these people, we were breaking them. We were breaking them down. They came out there after 3 days and they said, who's the leader of this thing? Because we haven't seen this at any other campus and we want to know who's responsible. And about 10 of my people all pointed to me. She's the one. She did this all. And I was like, yeah, I'm the one. You want to talk to me? We have our demands. And so myself and 3 other students who were well-spoken and, you know, intelligent and had all the same things to say as I did, walked in with the head of the 8 campuses, sat down at a meeting room, and we said, we want enough desks in that school for everybody who's enrolled right now. We want the books to be available at the beginning of the classes, and we want that math teacher thrown out because he sits there with his feet up on the desk and doesn't do anything. He's the only teacher we went after. I said, you can ask anyone else, any of these students here, some of the teachers will tell you that, because he's not doing his job. And the rest of the teachers want to teach us, but we're all standing around with the books in our hand because there's not enough desks. And you know what? That's exactly what they did. By the end of that week, they had everything that we demanded, and we were back in school by Monday. That's how you fight City Hall.
Right. And you know, the thing about it is it takes someone taking a stand, especially when you know something is wrong and you know that it's affecting a lot of people, you need to take a stand on it. And also, when you're taking a stand, you can't be wishy-washy about it because you know, when you're coming up against the powers that be, you can't be wishy-washy. And you got to be very direct, like you said, in what your demands are. And you have to be specific in what you want. And I do applaud you for organizing, you know, the boycott and getting your demands met, because, of course, that's not right. When you're paying your money to go to college and then you don't have anywhere to sit, and then you have a teacher that's not teaching, that's not right, especially when you're paying for it. So you did the right thing. And you're kind of like me, Diane. I get this rise up in me when it becomes something of, I don't know why that's so, but, you know, when you know something is not right, it's just something that rises up in you and makes you angry. It makes you very angry, and something has to be done about it. One of the things I wanted to ask you, too, I thought this one was interesting, how to avoid arguing about money. Now, is this for just married couples, or is this for anybody's situation?
Anybody's situation, because, you know, you can argue over money with your parents, you can argue over money with your boyfriend, you can argue over money with your spouse, with your kids. You know, money is a very contentious issue. That's the number one reason why people get divorced. You'd probably think it was, you know, yeah, no, it's true, because I've written a whole book on divorce, and it's like, you know, you'd think it was, oh, he's cheating on me. You know, a lot of people, they find their way out of that. They say, okay, well, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to you. Some people blame themselves, or sometimes they say, hey, you paid attention to me and you ran off, and it's like, okay, we've got this whole thing going on. You know, are we going to straighten this out? Because I can't handle it. If it's okay with you and you're going to continue doing it, then the whole game is over. But if you can stop doing it, you know, so there are things that are negotiable. But this is something that, you know, you have to decide for yourself what is acceptable and, you know, what each person is going to do in order to correct the problem.
Right. But why do you think people argue about money, though? I mean, only thing money is for is just to provide what you need. I mean, you can't eat money. You can't do anything,
but
purchase your basic needs with money. And I'm just trying to figure out why do people argue about money? What is the major root?
Well, I really think it's because it is tied in to you emotionally. Okay, it mm-hmm. seems like it shouldn't be, but it is, because first of all, in most couples, and I'm not trying to be sexist or anything like that, but still in the United States, in today's world, men make about 75% of the money to what women make if they have the same job. And there's a lot of articles out there on the internet that you can find where, you know, women make less than men do, even if they are both vying for the same position and they're both doing the same type of work and they both have the same amount of experience and they both have the same credentials. So they've got equal schooling, equal, you know, everything is equal, but men still make more than women do. They take home, out of a dollar, they take home, 75%, and women will take home, 66%. So we still make less than men, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of times men will lord it over women. Well, I'm the one that brings in the money. Or I'm the one that brings
right.
more money. So they think they have more of a right to spend it. But if you're both working as hard as you can to your best potential, then you both should have equal right to the money. So it's a very emotional issue. And that's the thing that couples at the end of relationships fight the most bitterly over, is the money.
Mm. Right. Well, thank you, Diane, for sharing that information. It is now 20 minutes after the hour, past the hour, time for commercial break. I'm Brenda Johnson Padgett here on ASWIFT Radio.
ASWIFT Writer's Guild is for those who have the talent to put pen or brush to paper to create a unique and valuable piece of work. ASWIFT is always looking for new talents to enhance the literary, visual, and performing arts. For more information on how you can become a member of ASWIFT Writer's Guild, visit www.swiftwritersguild.com or call 1-866-302-0508. ASWIFT Radio, bringing you the best in radio, keeping you informed, and highlighting your day with Brenda Padgett, Eunice Bridges, and Glenda Fields. On ASWIFT Radio. Ambassador sent with information for this time. Tune in online to ASWIFT Radio here at www.blogtalkradio/ASWIFT Radio. Call us anytime off air at 1-866-302-0508, extension 3060. ASWIFT Radio.
Do you want to become a published author? Try ASWIFT Publishing. We are an independent publishing company that writes and publishes content, audio, and video for print and broadcast media genres such as books, newspapers, magazines, radio, television, and the internet. We also design book covers and offer complete packages to help writers become published authors. Call us at 1-800-775-2708. You can also visit us online at www.aswiftpublishing.com or email us at books@aswiftpublishing.com for more information.
Welcome back to How to Do It Yourself from A to Z with Diane T. Garden here on ASWIFT Radio. I'm Brenda Johnson Padgett, your host. We are talking with author Diane T. Garden. In our first segment, she has given us tips in her latest book, How to Do It Yourself from A to Z. We will now continue with the discussion. Diane, one of the things I wanted to ask you, too, I noticed you had a topic that says, is owning a business for everyone, or should you own a business? Can you explain that?
Well, a lot of people think that being an entrepreneur means kicking back and letting everybody else do the work. The thing of it is unless you have are you know, individually funded, or you have a grant, or you have some money lying around, employees are very expensive. So when you are a startup, a lot of times you're doing it yourself. You know, you're doing a lot of the jobs yourself. So let's say you're a person who's, rather than multi-talented, you have one single strong suit. Let's say you're really good at sales. The thing of it is it takes a lot more than that to run a business. You have to have somewhere to store your things. You have to have someone to keep track of all the expenses coming in and out that you can trust. You have to have somebody who... Or if you create the project, the product, you have to have somebody to help you create the product. So there's a lot of different parts to owning your own business. You should also do it legitimately, so you need a business licenses. You need to have insurance, certain types of insurance. If you have employees, it makes it so much more complicated, because payroll is something that, you know, it used to be back in the old days, there was a what's called a full charge bookkeeper that would do everything. They would pay the bills, they would enter the receipts of the company, they would do payroll. Payroll is so complicated that now there's entire companies that are just devoted to doing your payroll. So a lot of people just keep track of the hours, and then they send the information to a payroll company, because there's several types of taxes that have to be taken out and given to different type organization, governmental organizations. Also, there's certain limits that you have to pay up to, and after that, you don't have to pay certain taxes, or you pay less of those taxes. So, payroll is like a nightmare. I used to do what's called full charge bookkeeping, which means you kept track of sales, you kept track of expenses, you paid the bills, you did the payroll and paid the paychecks. Oh, of all of the things that I used to do, and a lot of times you would, be answering the phone, and people would expect you to be, the secretary as well, answering the phone and taking messages for the salespeople. My goodness, payroll is very complex, and that's why these payroll companies have popped up that just specialize in doing payroll, because it is so complicated. So unless you are multi-talented, like to work very hard and very long hours, and have a drive that, because again, when you're self-employed, there's nobody sitting back there, like, people really put down the boss or the management. Oh, they're back there, telling people, you got to get back to work, you got to do this. Well, when you don't have those kind of people around, if you're not what I call self-motivated, you have to tell yourself that you have to be that person to yourself. Get up, girl, don't be taking that much of a break. You got to get back to work. You've got to do this. You've got to be organized. You've got to do all the tasks assigned, and you've got to do it day in and day out. So unless you're very strong, very smart, very motivated, you see what I'm saying, and like hard work. Now, some people make it look easy, but it's not. So it's not for everyone. And I think a lot of people may be out there listening to your show kind of shaking their head up and down going, yeah, wow, I tried it and I thought it was... It gives you a better appreciation, though, of organizations that employ you, because wow, there's somebody, running this whole thing, and I'm a part of it, but I don't have to worry about everything at the end of the day. You go in and you do your part, your job, collect your paycheck, and then go party,
Right. So really owning a business is not for everyone. You have to really be disciplined, and you also have to be a self-starter, and you also have to be one of those people that don't have to be micromanaged. And I definitely agree with you. There is a lot to owning your own business, so you have to know what you're getting into. Diane, I appreciate you explaining that for those who are thinking about owning a business, so that they can kind of, see what it all entails. Diane, could you give our listening audience your contact information and how they can purchase your books?
Absolutely. If they go to my website, which is at www.firewalker.com, Publications, that's with an S, publications.com. All my books are listed on my website. It's a very easy website to use. The first page gives you, you know, a little rundown of all the different topics. So there's interviews like this one that are posted if you want to hear me, you know, talk about different subjects. There's all five of my books and the links to where you can buy them. So you don't buy them directly off the website, but most all of my books, I'm kind of diversifying a little bit now, but most all of my books are available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. They're listed in the catalogs that they may not be on the shelves if you walk into a bookstore, but if you ask for Diane Teagarden, and it's DianeTeagarden, and if you ask for, you know, can they order the book? Most bookstores you walk into, that's called brick and mortar. So the stores that have a physical location have catalogs where they can order any of my books. So some are e-books, most of them are print books, and you can get them off firewalkerpublications.com.
Okay, great. Thank you, Diane, for that information. Our show has now come to a close. If you still have questions for Diane Teagarden, you can email those questions to Ace of Radio, and we will forward those questions to her. I hope you enjoy listening to How to Do It Yourself from A to Z. Continue to check www.acewithradio.wordpress.com for upcoming shows, or you can call us direct at 1-800-775-2708, extension 3060. You can also email us at aceswiftradio@yahoo.com to give us your feedback on the show. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our show. This is Brenda Johnson Padgett here on Ace Swift Radio.